I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, good evening, everyone. We welcome you aboard live high atop Capital One Arena in downtown D.C. Away we go. Chinatown, actually. Downtown. On a Tuesday night, that's right, a little bit of a later start because of the national TV coverage of this game. I believe you can hear John Walton, actually, on the NBCSN broadcast. And, of course, Joe Beninati and Craig Lachlan on the NBC Sports Washington broadcast, because I do not believe it is an exclusive type dealio. And, of course, the call of the game here on 106.7 The Fan. And we'll take you right up until the pregame show. With Ben Raby and company at 7:15. Good to have you aboard with us, live from, again, the press box high atop Capital One Arena. And just a quick little 45-minute overtime. We'll have a full three-and-a-half-hour show tomorrow night. That'll actually be at 7:30 because our pal Tom Daly hosts Crashing the Net, the Caps hockey show, from 6:30 to 7:30 tomorrow after Chad Dukes versus the World. So, again, a little programming stuff for you there. So let's get to it right away because there's lots to talk about. As Earl was just mentioning during his bottom of the hour flash, look, there's not much going on with the Redskins right now. We haven't heard anything. I haven't heard anything. I don't think anybody's reported anything. That being said, you can never rule out one of these midweek type things. I've said this a couple of times, don't know if anybody's been paying attention, but remember, 9 years ago, which seemingly seems forever ago, but it's really not, it has been 9 years, almost to the day, since Vinny Serrato was fired and Bruce Allen was hired as the Executive Vice President of Football Operations. Will Bruce Allen be fired with three games to go? Probably not. It would have been way too easy to do it Sunday night, Monday, what have you. We all understand everybody wants him on a silver platter, proverbially. Nobody wants to do any harm. You get my point. The bottom line is it could still happen this week for those of you that are despondent that they have not done a thing. A coaching change is not happening this week, nor did I really think it was going to happen. The only thing that I thought made any sense, and continue to think that makes any sense, is firing Bruce Allen because he's, quite honestly, unimportant. He's been removed, basically, from running a lot of the business operations. And it's not only just by Brian LaFemina. I mean, Eric Schaefer does a ton. Bruce Allen is a business executive who doesn't make a lot of common sense decisions, running the football operations, who doesn't make a lot of good decisions. That's a double, double, double negative. You know, it's like Roy Rogers used to have the double R bar burger, or the West Coast burger joint that everybody loves that stinks, In-N-Out burger, a double, 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 double. Well, Bruce Allen does a double, double, double bad job in everything that he does. He should have been fired, again, said this last couple of days. He should have been fired 5 years ago. He should have been fired 5 months ago. He should have been fired 5 weeks ago. He should have been fired 5 days ago. He should have been fired 5 hours ago. He should have been fired 5 minutes ago. There is absolutely no rhyme or reason why Bruce Allen still has a job and why he is the president of football operations with the Washington Redskins. There is not one legitimate good reason that anyone can provide. No one, anywhere, anyhow, in any way, shape, or form. I've talked to a million people around the league. Nobody thinks he should have a job. Everybody is laughing at the Washington Redskins that Bruce Allen is still the president. Laughing. As if it's not bad enough. That being said, I can't fire Jay Gruden. I can't fire Greg Minuski. I can't do anything else until I do that. Because I'm not letting Bruce Allen make that decision for me. I'm going around Bruce Allen if I'm Dan Snyder and the minority owners. And they have a voice too. I'm not letting Bruce Allen determine any more of my future franchise, anything else at all, period. Not doing it. He has no more power as far as I'm concerned if I'm Dan Snyder, if I'm the minority owners, and clearly I'm not. I've heard they're getting frustrated. I've heard Dan's been angry for a long time now. Dan also likes Bruce as a friend. I'm sure it's a very difficult decision and more difficult than we probably realize and attribute, and I get it. And then there's the money part of it, and nobody wants to talk about this. And it's the same thing that I think is going to protect Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden has 2 years, $10-ish million left on his deal after this year. Remember, that's the two-year extension that they gave him because Scott McLuhan went AWOL at the combine because his grandmother had passed away the month and a half before that, and suddenly he was at the funeral, and that's what – remember that? Yeah. This team made that up. So – remember, they gave Jay Gruden, out of nowhere, a two-year extension. Not saying he didn't earn it. Not saying he doesn't deserve it. I think Jay Gruden actually deserved it at the time. Did you have to do 2 years with 2 years remaining? No, you didn't. You didn't have to do that. But they chose to do it. Okay. But Jay Gruden's got 2 years and around $10 million. Could be a little bit more. Who knows? Plus, obviously, the fate of his coaching staff is tied to Jay Gruden, right? The reason why I bring that up is we kind of know that about Jay. And again, firing Jay, not that every coach is safe in and of itself, but firing Jay and hiring a new head coach brings in a whole different set of issues and questions and problems, right? Who's going to be the offensive coordinator? Who's going to be the defensive coordinator? Who's going to be the quarterback? We already have problems with that. What scheme are we going to run? What style are we going to run? What philosophy are we going to run? Is it going to be a rookie head coach who has no clue what he's doing? Is it going to be a college head coach who's never coached in the NFL before? We've been there, done that. That didn't work. Is it going to be a veteran, old, grizzled? Is it going to be Bill Cowher? Is it going to be spitting spit through his mustache and yelling at people and not mixing and dining well with today's spoiled, modern, rotten athlete? We don't know, okay? My point is that all of these issues remain just to clear up Jay Gruden's end of it. For those of you that want Jay Gruden, first and foremost, to be fired. There are many, many, many different connection points to Jay Gruden. And there are many, many things that you are going to have to change if you fire Jay Gruden. Not to mention, and this is important, he is probably on the pro side the most important talent evaluator in that building, on the pro side. What I mean by that is Kyle Smith runs the college scouting department, and they have been ramping him up to get him ready to take on more and more responsibilities. I don't know if he's there yet. I don't think he is. As smart as he is, as talented as he is, and as good of a job overall as he's done with the college draft the last 2 years. However, Jay Gruden, yes, they have Alex Santos, who's the director of pro personnel. Got it. Jay Gruden is the most influential pro personnel evaluator in the building in terms of shaping the 53-man roster. That doesn't mean Jay's great at it. I don't think he's great at it. I think he's good at it. I think he's fairly good at it. I think he can get a lot better. But Jay is the most influential pro personnel evaluator in the building. So when you fire the head coach, not only are you talking about a coaching staff regime change, a scheme change on both offense and defense and special teams, and also a lot of the roster, because a new coach, as we've seen John Gruden, is going to come in and say, I don't like that guy, 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 I don't like that guy. Hit the road, hit the road, hit the road, goodbye. And then that starts another fiasco. And then on top of that, again, you're talking about, okay, we're going to fire the head coach, but we're not going to replace him with a true general manager? We're not going to replace him with a true talent evaluator? Because we can't have anybody in the building that actually has a definitive clue on what the hell they're doing and isn't tied to this organization in some weird, nefarious way. And that's my point. My point is, you don't fire Jay Gruden because there's too many dots connected. There's too many dominoes that then fall when you fire Jay Gruden. And not to mention, you have to pay him out and other coaches out. And you may lose Callahan, and you may lose Tom Sula, and you may lose Kevin O'Connell, and you may you get Ben Kotwicka, and you may just go on and on and on down the line, right? But if you fire the president, who the only human being alive on planet Earth that thought, Bruce Allen, hey, he's a good football guy. That guy, I want him to run my football. The only human being alive on planet Earth is his boss. I don't know if he still thinks that. I don't know how he could think that. But the only human being that thought Bruce Allen was capable of fully running a football operation standpoint, an organization, was Dan Snyder. That's it. He is unnecessary. He is completely unnecessary. And you can fire him and have virtually no fallback and no dominoes that fall along with him. Will you have other changes? Of course. Things always change in the NFL. You will not have the massive sweeping regime changes if you start with the head coach. Oh, and by the way, if you fire the president who refuses to hire a true general manager because he thinks he knows more than you, when his track record proves that he knows diddly poo, when you fire the president, that paves the way to hire a true general manager. And not one, quite honestly, and I'm going to be a little offensive here, but not one that has the horrible, sordid history of personal demons that was hired 3 years ago in Scott McLuhan. You know, the guy that you guys thought was Saint Scott? Wasn't Saint Scott. Wasn't Saint Scott very early. Okay? That's not to say he's not a good talent evaluator. It's not to say he's not a good guy. That's not to say that we all don't have flaws. We do. I do. You do. But the point of the matter is, if you fire Bruce Allen, it paves the way to hire a true vice president, president, whatever it might be, whatever the role title is, of football operations. You know, somebody with a resume and somebody who's accomplished at doing that. And somebody that doesn't have a sordid history of being fired from multiple organizations. And somebody who's not going to be on the buddy system. Somebody real. Authentic, that can fix the circus. You don't fire Gruden, you fire the president. Then you let the president, or whatever his title is going to be, a true football maverick, decide on the head coach. And if he feels, I've got to wipe the slate clean, I'm still not going to love it, but I'll understand it and I'll deal with it. I'm not firing the head coach, and I'm not serving Minuski up as a sacrificial lamb just to make the bloodthirsty fans, media, and cynics happy. That accomplishes nothing. Minuski's going to probably get fired anyway. What the hell's the difference if it's now or 3 weeks from now? All right, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. So we open up with that and why it makes to me, no sense to fire Jay Gruden now or anytime soon, and why, obviously, it makes all the sense in the world to fire Bruce Allen first. And maybe some of you are tired of hearing that, and maybe that's duh, but I don't know if anybody's actually laid it out in that context, that, of course, it makes sense to not let the president or Bruce Allen hire or fire somebody. But you've heard it from a... It makes no sense to let Bruce Allen hire somebody new. I'm talking about it makes no sense to allow Bruce Allen to make the decision on Jay Gruden, if that makes sense. That's where I'm coming from. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We're high atop Capital One Arena at 800-636-1067 on the Fan. All right, good to have you aboard with us. We're live from Capital One Arena on this Tuesday night as we count you down to puck drop between the Detroit Red Wings and the Washington Capitals. Second matchup in just a couple of weeks from these two teams. Remember, they met the Friday afternoon after Thanksgiving. Capitals win. Tom Wilson, who will not play tonight, had a goal. That was his, second home game of the year. Of course, still dealing with the results of the concussion or the effects of the concussion on that dirty hit by Ryan Reeves a week ago tonight in Las Vegas, the one that he celebrated.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And signed autographs about. That was really cool. But TJ Oshie is back in the lineup, provided that nothing happens, of course, during the pregame skate. That is great news after missing, the last 11 games for TJ Oshie. So that is really cool to see him back. And I think they've done the right thing here in terms of taking their time and making sure that he is right. He has been a player that has had multiple concussions. And he admitted to me just a couple of weeks ago after that Evgeny Malkin cheap shot in the win against the Penguins on a Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago when he got knocked out in that game and he came back and he said, look, I had to make sure that I was clear. I had to make sure that I wasn't going to go back out there and then all of a sudden get hit again, jarred again, and suffer another issue or another problem. So, there's no guarantees, not by any stretch, but it seems that 11 games and multiple weeks since we've last seen TJ Oshie would be at least reasonable enough to think that they gave it extra time and not just clearing him back out on the ice the first second that he feels good. I mean, he's been skating on his own while the team was in Vegas, Arizona, and Columbus, and then obviously practiced yesterday and participated in the skate, and he'll be on the top line with Alex Ovechkin and Nicholas Backstrom. So putting him right out there to replace, of course, Tom Wilson, who, again, will miss another game, this third game in a row. And Madison Bowie, by the way, hurt during the pregame skate this morning, is going to be back in the lineup as well. So he's fine. So we turn you over to the Caps at 7:15 from high atop here at Capital One Arena. Let's go out to the phones with you at 800-636-1067. Let's say hello to Don in Leesburg on line one. Good evening, Don. You're on Sports Radio 106.7. I'm a fan.
Hey, man, just wanted to touch base. Wooster, I love you. You're the best.
Thank you, Donnie. What's going on, pal?
Hey, I just want to say I think you're totally right about Wayne Gruden is better at picking the players than the other ones. I know he wanted Josh Johnson over Sanchez, but Danny was so caught up in whining and dining Sanchez way back when he was going to be a first-round pick. He just couldn't help himself. He had to get it.
Well, I can't say that. I know that's a cool storyline, and look, I wouldn't say that you're wrong, but I would say this: the reason why they went with Sanchez is because he had a lot more familiarity with the terminology and with a lot of the coaches, meaning Callahan, Kevin O'Connell, and Matt Kavanaugh. So they went with that. Plus, he's a more veteran quarterback, right? So they thought, oh, here's a stability guy, and here's a guy who can kind of hold down the fort. And remember, they brought him in before Colt McCoy was hurt. They weren't expecting him to play right away. The point of the matter is they brought him in. The one thing that they did, I think that we can all agree on, right, Don, is they left him in too long on Sunday. They left him in for almost three quarters or just about three quarters. And again, the score's 40-0 before you decide to make a move. At what point did Jay go, you know what, I'm going to continue to trot him out in the second half? When it was 31-0, 34-0, 20, that's the point. That's where they really screwed up, in addition to not having a quarterback in the system all along that knew the terminology.
Well, I still think with Johnson having a familiarity with Gruden, that's who he wanted, and I'm telling you, he had to wait because those boys wanted to see Sanchez play, and Gruden finally said, I got to pull the plug on this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it took him, again, too long, but, you know, you give him credit for going and giving a little glimmer of hope, and I appreciate the phone call, Don. I'll let you run on that. At least you have a little glimmer of hope coming into Jacksonville this week. We know Jacksonville's not a great team, but we know the strength of their team is on defense. They shut out Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts just 2 weeks ago. They are more than capable of doing it. And, oh, by the way, they now have a week to prepare for Josh Johnson. Nobody had a chance to prepare, number one, for Johnson. Nobody thought he would be playing, I guess. He was just signed on Wednesday, for crying out loud, less than a week ago. And nobody at up – I mean, Jay Gruden can sit here and say, well, they were playing the same scheme. Of course. Of course they were playing the same scheme. Nobody thought they weren't playing the same scheme. Who plays a different scheme, for God's sakes? They weren't playing good. They weren't playing hard. They weren't playing with an intensity that they were playing early in the year is the point. Come on, Jay. What are we talking about here? You can't evaluate, truly evaluate Josh Johnson or any quarterback in a 40-0 game, win or lose, good or bad. You can't do it. So I have no idea what to expect from Josh Johnson this week. Here's what I know. Against a pretty good pass rush with Yannick Ngakoue and guys like that, and Jalen Ramsey locking things up on the corner against stiff wide receivers, here's what I know. At least Johnson gives you a chance to break contain and give up and get something on the ground or move something around to pick up some positive yardage instead of double cocking his arm, pausing, hesitate. He's just going to take off. Now, he might get crushed. He might get killed. We might be on back to Mark Sanchez duty, but at least he gives you the opportunity as soon as things break down, which they're inevitably going to break down immediately on Sunday. All right, more of your calls and reaction thoughts and analysis coming up next. Again, I would fire Bruce before Jay because it makes no sense to fire Jay before Bruce. When you have all of the reasons that I outlined, but more importantly, I'm not letting Bruce Allen make that decision. There's no way that Bruce Allen is getting rid of the top football personnel evaluator on the pro side in my building just because he's trying to save his own ass. Get the hell out of here. Top of the hour, Earl Forsey with a sports flash, and then we'll return to Capital One Arena. More of your calls for just one more segment right here on your flagship station for the Washington Capitals, 106.7 The Fan. All right, everybody, we welcome you back to Capital One Arena, high atop ice level, where both teams are out on the ice for pregame warm-ups. Once again, TJ Oshie back in the Capitals starting lineup. And going to work on that top line with Nicklas Backstrom, with Alex Ovechkin. I haven't seen Oshie just yet, but I was a little... Oh, there he is, number 77, taking the puck right now, crossing the blue line. And dishing one off to Evgeny Kuznetsov. So, TJ Oshie making his return, which is a sight for sore eyes. Not only does he help you on the top line, and of course, without Tom Wilson, it's even more of a need right now. But again, the power play has been somewhat beleaguered. I mean, this team obviously comes off a dominating effort against Columbus on Saturday night. That's great. That's awesome. Wonderful. But they need the power play to start cranking again, to start kicking people in the teeth, because the power play struggled a little bit on that road trip, and it was going just fine when Tom Wilson was in there. But as soon as you lose Tom Wilson and TJ Oshie, and then you don't have that high slot guy, which is what Tom was doing to replace Oshie, who camps out in the high slot between the faceoff dots, you're in trouble. We'll take you right up until 7:15, just another couple of minutes left. And then at that point, Grady Wittenberg filling in for John Walton, who's on the TV side on NBC Sports Network tonight. Grady Wittenberg, Ken Zabrin, and Ben Raby will take you home on a Tuesday night from here at Capital One Arena between the Capitals and the Red Wings. So, you know, again, just in summation of, I guess, my overall arching point, and many of you are probably not going to understand what I'm saying here, because the first thing to do and the first thing that I've heard, which does make sense, but it doesn't make as much sense, I believe, as my point is, you know, like, why would you let Bruce Allen hire the next head coach, right? And that's a perfectly legitimate, valid question. Great. Congratulations. Slap yourself on the back, Barry Horowitz style, right? Congratulations. That's a great question. I wouldn't let Bruce Allen hire my next head coach either. I wouldn't have let him hire my previous head coach. I wouldn't have let him run my football operations. I wouldn't let him be the president, the vice president, the secretary of state, the politician, the governor, the mayor, whatever. I wouldn't let that guy clean my garbage. However, the better question is this. Why in the world would you let Bruce Allen fire your head coach? And again, one of, if not arguably, your top talent evaluator, at least on the pro side and certainly on the roster side. Why would you allow that? Why would you allow that clown to make that decision? Unless that decision is coming strictly and exclusively, and we would never be able to prove this, from Dan Snyder, who, my understanding, has, for the most part, largely stayed out of things and let Bruce run the show. So if we are to assume all of that, why would you allow Bruce Allen to, again, make the decision on Jay Gruden, period? Never mind who the next head coach is once you fire Jay Gruden. Forget that. Why would you allow him to make that decision on Jay Gruden? Let the new president, the new general manager, the new top honcho of football operations, whether it's Eric Schaefer, whether it's Elliot Wolf, who's now in Cleveland with John Dorsey, who grew up in the Cleveland, in the Green Bay system, the son of Ron Wolf, whether it's Alonzo Highsmith, who also is in Cleveland with John Dorsey and Elliot Wolf, who also graduated from the Green Bay system. And I'm just throwing out a couple of names there. I'm not saying I know anything, because I don't in that regard. But if you're not going to hire Eric Schaefer as your president of football operations, and I don't know why you wouldn't, and you might lose him if you don't, by the way, then that's what you should do. That's what you should do. Is if you're not going to hire Eric Schaefer, and oh, by the way, it should be Eric Schaefer's decision one way or the other, which way they're going. But if you're not going to hire Eric Schaefer, you don't let Bruce Allen, who then you're going to turn around and fire, presumably, fire the head coach. And again, top talent evaluator. Now, if you then have a change of heart based on some weird circumstance, you're doing it all wrong anyway, and that's why you are a complete, colossal bleep show. And that will never change. But again, you don't let Bruce Allen make the decision to fire Jay Gruden because you're losing more than a head coach. You're not just losing a head coach, you're losing more than a head coach. And why would you let that clown make that decision? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. To me, that's the better question. All right, that is going to do it for us right here from Capital One Arena. Again, the Caps and the Detroit Red Wings. Wings playing pretty good. One last night at home, 14-13-4, 32 points, 6-6-1 on the road. Caps 17-9-3, 37 points off of 2 out of 3 on the West Coast and in Columbus on Saturday night. TJ Oshie is back on the top line and on PP1. Let's go, baby. Strap him up. 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.